Hello and welcome to my show. Could you be more specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stay Woke Podcast. And on this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to title it True Growth, and I'm going to touch on Jada Pinkett Smith's interview that she did with Will on her show through Facebook called Red Table Talk, and just the different dynamics of what their relationship is, and then I'm going to talk about it from an overall standpoint, I guess, of how it could relate to, say, all of us in our everyday lives. So one of the things that I wanted to start with first is that I had a chance to first watch her show not too long ago, and all her interviews are very, you know, introspective and very deep, and she does seem like she has genuine conversations with people and she's trying to genuinely connect. So that alone has always kind of made watching in-depth shows like that very interesting. So the fact that she has a show like that, I find very fascinating, because I just think what Jada represents just in across the board is just she's incredible. And I think she definitely wears a lot of different hats very well. And I've always thought there was so much more to her than what might meet the eye of what most people see. And that's what was so great about their conversation. So for those of you who haven't seen the complete interview, there's a part one and a part two of her interview that she has with Will. But one of the things that I just found so fascinating with the relationship is that how honest they are with one another, and how, you know, based off their backgrounds, they had some viewpoints of relationships that went a certain way, and then they had some viewpoints that they didn't agree with. But one of the more fascinating things that I would say that I liked about Jada's perspective on their relationship was the fact that she seems to be like, hey, simple is sometimes better. And she seemed, especially throughout the conversation, and I know it's kind of open to interpretation, she definitely seems like someone where she's more so interested in reality as opposed to the perception of reality. And Will seemed like, you know, he was more so interested in the perception at the time being his reality. I don't think he meant it to be necessarily harmful, but I think he has always been a very image conscious person. And he's admitted to that throughout a number of interviews, from the way he interacts with fans to, you know, the way he interacts with the press. Like, he really invests his time in wanting to make people feel comfortable and to do things for them that's special. So, like, a lot of things that cuts both ways. But one of the things that I think that stood out to me the most about their interview was how they just openly admitted that, hey, you know, they've had problems just like everyone else, which we all know that people do. But the fact that they were at a point in their relationship where things were pretty much, you know, at a standstill for a long time with one another, and how they had to work on themselves individually before they could come back to their relationship feeling like it was very possible for them to carry on. And what I find also really interesting about it was the fact that, you know, throughout their conversation is that Jada's mother and their daughter Willow was included at the table. So the fact that they felt confident enough to want to have that kind of discussion, not just, you know, for us publicly to consume, but the fact that they wanted to have, you know, members of their family be there showed you that they had probably felt like they were in a good space to do it, you know, for a long time. And I think one of the things that kind of was interesting, especially from Will's side of things, is a lot of the way he viewed relationships was through the prism of how things went between his mother and father, and it not going the way that he would have liked to have seen as a child. So when he got older, he wanted it to be a lot different from that. And the idea that he actually said that, hey, when, you know, the fact that, you know, they could have a conversation like, hey, you know, we have a get together and she cusses me out, and then I say, you know, I'm not going to live like that. And then the fact that, you know, he essentially broke up with her, and she's like, you're going to break up with me because I cursed at you. He's like, if that becomes the normalcy of our relationship, then it's not going to work. You know, disrespecting you doesn't mean that I care. And I think that's very fascinating because I think that's something that for all of us, it's like we got to be really mindful with how we're communicating with each other. And I think when you're talking a certain way, especially when it's one thing to use profanity to describe your story, it's another to be directing harsh language to someone that you're seeing. And, you know, I'm very mindful of that with the people that I talk to, that I'm aware of what I'm saying. And I think that's something that we have to do in relationships a lot more, no matter who's involved. Because once you say what you say, there is no going back from it. And I think a lot of us don't really understand it until you really start working on communication skills and how you're going to interact with people. You know, you could kind of set yourself back in a lot of scenarios because it'll forever shape how someone views you, especially in the dynamic of dating. Because you, the person you're seeing ultimately should feel comfortable with you. I was reading an article not too long ago that was describing relationships, and they were saying oftentimes we equate love to red and it means fire, when ultimately really love should be the color of blue because it reflects water and it's cool, you know. And I think it could be a bit of both. But even if it does share some of those qualities, it should always still involve a level of dignity and respect for one another. Because if it's still rooted in that, then that's the only way you're able to then love that person. And I know unconditional versus conditional. Listen, you know, there's always conditions attached to everything. You would hope that if you're treating someone with kindness and respect, that they would extend that to you. It's not always guaranteed or required, but you just, you know, that's usually what you're that you would expect naturally, you know. And that doesn't mean that every good thing you do for someone that you're required to get something back, but that's something that we should be mindful of. So I believe their discussion really did provide a lot of context to how we kind of view relationships now. And what's interesting is that because their relationship seems so unusual to see from a public perspective, it doesn't make us look at it internally a lot of the times and evaluate our own relationships. And I think for Will and Jada, especially with what they've meant as a couple, not just from a Hollywood standpoint, but they check every box, especially in the Black community. The ideal number one couple has always been Will and Jada. You know, people bring up Jay-Z and Beyonce, people bring up, you know, Denzel and Pauletta, but the couple that kind of like blends together everything, especially when we first saw them from a perception standpoint, has always been Will and Jada. I mean, you could say Ozzy Davis and Ruby Dee, clearly, but I think from a everyday standpoint, most people probably would point to them. And the fact that they didn't hide behind that. It was actually good, too, that they, you know, addressed things that we already know that, you know, people would probably never believe, because once someone's mind is made up, it's made up. And it was kind of good that they addressed it, like, hey, you know, we're not Scientologists and they're not swingers. Now, I remember years ago when Will was hit with those kind of interpretations, I remember he said, like, hey, you know, I've studied, you know, all forms of religion, and a lot of them share the same tenets. Whether you agree with a lot of them or not, you know, that's one thing, but they do share a lot of that. So, you know, I wasn't really all that surprised with him in regards to the Scientology comment. As far as the swingers thing, I noticed that he's always kind of like danced around that and had fun with that more so than it coming across like, oh, they're in this open relationship. And I know people have said that for a long time, but they just address it on record, and they already know that, hey, you know, a lot of people are not going to believe them. But it's actually kind of good that they did address that, because it's like once you've gone 20 plus years, essentially, the way they have, you kind of don't care at that point. So I thought that was really good to kind of show. I think another thing that I thought was kind of interesting, especially from the mom standpoint with Jada, was that it did kind of seem like to me like she really was vested in her daughter being in a situation that was a lot better than hers, and she wanted them to be married. And it was interesting to hear that Jada didn't want to get married. She would have been perfectly fine of them just being together. That she wasn't necessarily, you know, that was a make or break for her, which I think now, as time has gone on over the years, people have gotten more and more used to that ideal. But obviously, you know, for a lot of us, if you have parents, especially parents from a religious background, that the ideal of marriage has always been kind of a part of your viewpoint from a relationship standpoint. And it's not to say that it's a bad thing or necessarily a good thing, but it's always been an option and a recourse for us to put ourselves in from a relationship standpoint. I was really, really impressed with just how mature Willow is. It almost doesn't feel like she's still as young as she is. It's very fascinating to kind of see how, even with that, from their parenting style, when Willow was doing really well with her song, the fact that she was like, okay, I don't want to do this no more. And the fact that Will kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and she just, you know, in her way of kind of rebelling, she just shaves her head. And, you know, he was just saying, hey, well, you made a commitment to, you know, Jay-Z's label. And she was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And a lot of adults don't think that way. So the fact that she had enough of a sense of maturity to say, hey, this doesn't work for me no more, I don't want to participate in this, is really empowering, you know, and a really great motivator for people to look at. It's like, hey, this is a teenager who has enough courage to say, this is not who I am, and I don't want to do anything that's not real to me. So I just thought all those elements of the interview was very fascinating to me. And I know for some people that some of the criticisms will come by Will and Jada no longer referring to themselves as married. They'll say they have a life partnership, and the fact that that they're kind of beyond that label now. They've kind of looked to redefine how they view their relationship with one another. And I know people are going to, you know, read in between that. They still do that now. But one of the most fascinating things that I think I picked up from the interview, and I think people can tell, is that there's a genuine love that they have for each other. And I think that's something that we all can share in common, because we've all been in relationships where it may not make sense to most people, but it makes sense to us. Because ultimately, that's what all the relationships are anyway. It's just that, are you in a relationship where you're truly growing? And are you growing as an individual, and is the person that you're with growing as an individual? And then can you guys come together to grow and build a world with one another, and comfortable enough to build a world where you guys are happy to share it together, and then be happy when you're not sharing it together? And I think that's one of the things that we're all kind of searching for and chasing. It was a really, really great discussion. I'm looking forward to seeing more of her show. I haven't watched as many of the shows, probably as a lot of people are, but all her talks, the talks I've seen, have always been fascinating and well done, and it's the best form of content, especially when you're having a discussion, because there is no rush to get through it, which is always great. So those are just some of the thoughts that I had on that. I'm looking forward to some of the other interviews that we have coming up, and some of the other pods that we have coming up. I want to thank D for all the work that he's been doing for the show and for the pod. I want to thank you guys for all your support. Definitely continue to like, share, and follow this pod. We're going to be doing so many more incredible things in the future coming soon. So thank you so much. Again, I'm your host, Jonathan Steele. Thank you for listening. Could You Be More Specific? Coming to you by the way of Stay Well Podcast. And I'll be looking forward to speaking to you guys real soon, and have a good one.